Welcome to Farewell, Mr. Nice Guy, and I am your host, MNG. And today's episode is about the power of secrets. Now, we all hold our own secrets. There is stuff that we talk about with some of our closest friends. There's things that we talk about with our parents. There's things that we talk about with our spouses. But for the most part, there are things that we only keep to ourselves. We don't share with anyone. And honestly, that is perfectly okay. You can keep secrets. You can have secrets. The problem is when you hold secrets that can be detrimental to other people. And what I mean by detrimental to other people, say there is a way for you to save somebody's life, and you hold the knowledge that could save their life, but yet you don't share it, but you choose not to share it. It can provide a substantial understanding of the family dynamic, but you choose not to share it. So the power of secrets is very formidable. And the reason why I want to talk about the power of secrets is because even as a father, I hold secrets from my son. And it's not like I've not tried to tell him these secrets, but it's more so that he don't want to hear. Now, there is the story of how I got custody of my son that I can tell, or I have told, and I've told many of people. But then when I try to tell it to my son, he doesn't want to hear it. But on the other hand, there's the story that his mother tells, and he listens to that story because, of course, why would he listen to the absent parent story? I'm guilty of it as well. I listen to my father's story of why he can't come and see me, or why he couldn't come and see me when I was a kid. But yet, I don't necessarily ask my mom her version of the story. And I think I don't ask her version of the story because I don't believe I'm going to get a straight answer. I think I'm going to be met with questions and animosity versus some level of truth and understanding of why the dynamic didn't work. But at the same time, when I do ask my mom, or a conversation comes up about my dad, you know, there's instant attitude or a sly remark or anything. For instance, I walked up to my mom's house one time, and my auntie, her twin sister, was basically saying, "Hey, you look just like your dad." And my mom came out and was like, "No, he don't say that." And she started to try to laugh it off. And I just kind of looked at her like, okay, that was awkward. Sounds like he kind of still got like a little attitude towards him. Or how the case is, but you know, whatever. I just kind of brush it off. But I've noticed that over the years that if there was a conversation about my dad, yeah, she has an attitude. She will, you know, stay her peace. And then, you know, the conversation will continue. But it wouldn't be in the, you know, we're on the same terms type of thing. It's difficult for people to understand how holding on to secrets, whether devastating or helpful, can either destroy them on the inside or destroy somebody else on the inside. Like, there are times where I just feel guilty, and I try to be as honest as possible. So there was a time where I held a lot of secrets. And mainly these secrets was to protect other people. So let's just say, they were secrets, but I would lie. So I would lie about how I felt about other people, or I would lie about intentions that I would have, instead of just being honest and upfront about it. But I guess you could say lying and secrets kind of go hand in hand, because you're lying to hide or protect an intention or mindset that you have, so people don't know, or they're deceived, or deception. when you hold secrets, if somebody asks you a question about that secret and you say you don't know, in the same token, you're lying about it. And then you kind of lose track of the lies that you tell. It gets a little iffy at that point. So it's better to just, in my case, I would say it's better to just tell the truth. Regardless of who feeling to hurt, regardless of what occurs further down the line, it's better just to tell the truth. Because the longer you hold on to the lie, the longer you hold on to the secret, if it comes out and everybody finds out or an individual finds out that you're lying, it's going to hurt more than it would if you would have just told the truth. At least if you could tell the truth, you could stand with honor. You could stand with respect. You could stand with some kind of trust and some level of communication. But when you lie, you break all of that. You're not communicating. You're breaking trust. You're breaking communication. You're breaking the very foundation that holds certain relationships together. These secrets hold way more power than you will understand. Now, there are certain businesses that have secrets, but it's natural for a business to have secrets because it's competitive, right? Whether it's a secret to a whiskey recipe or it's a secret to a food recipe, I can't let them secrets out. I can't even let the employees know what the secret is. The employees know the secret, they get fired, or they like, hey, they contact another company or rival company and say, you know what? I got some secrets I want to let loose. How much are you going to pay me for it? The government has secrets. The government primary purpose not only is to serve the public, which, you know, we essentially believe that they do, that they serve the public, and they do everything in their power in the best interest of the public, or Americans, or the United States, rather. But in the same token, they hold secrets because they believe that it is not in the best interest for the public, the Americans, the United States, to know through, you know, great detective work and observation. It all comes to the light. And you find out this person was killed by this particular person over this particular reason, which the reason is always stupid, with this particular item, which I would figure take if it was a candle holder, and it's a very good made candle holder, you know, it would take more than just one hit to get them, you know, dead. I think the first hit would just make them unconscious, but, you know, that's just a logical me. So when it comes to secrets and relationships, that's a big one, right? What secrets are you holding within your relationship? What are you not telling? What are you not talking about? There's a lot of things that individuals will hold secret, whether it is secrets to their past, secrets about past relationships. So when you're doing a Q&A and you're having conversation with a potential partner, and y'all going through the questions, you know, say y'all play 20 questions. I know that game gets kind of old or whatever, but say you're playing 20 questions, and one of your questions is, what is your deepest, darkest secret? Do you honestly believe that that person is going to tell you the exact truth to that question? Hell fuck no. And you know why they're not going to tell the truth to that question? They're not going to tell the truth to that question because they don't want you to look at them like they're fucking crazy. You really think, just like, think about the episodes or the shows that's on TLC. I think it's TLC, where the people have these obscene habits. I seen one lady that is completely crazy for eating tissue. Or you see the person that is in love with inanimate objects. This person in love with a car, you know, and then, you know, left the car and then went and started loving on something else. Or the people that love animals. If you was to have a conversation with them and say what was in their past, say they got past it and say, no, I don't do that no more. I am better. I am well. And you sit there and you ask them a question and say, hey, what is your deepest, darkest secret? And the person was to tell you, like, yeah, I was in love with cars. Like, actually in love with them. I was married to a car. You know, a 95 Buick, the Sabre. Like, what would be your response? Would you get up and leave the table? Or would you sit there and be understanding of the situation and say, you wanted to know their deepest, darkest secret? What is the purpose of that question? Whether you're trying to get to know somebody or you're trying to get to understand somebody, what is the purpose of asking that question? And then once the answer is revealed, you freak out, you get an answer that is so much more profound than what you originally thought it was going to be. What do you do? Like, what is your initial reaction when you hear, I was in love with stuffed animals. Well, I got a room for the stuffed animals. It's kind of was my obsession, or kind of still is my obsession. Just like there was a guy that was on a date, and I think this was on TLC. I keep saying I think it is TLC, but I don't know. I keep saying it on Instagram. But it was this guy that had to smell. Either he had to smell or he had to put on him a can of salmon. And it's the craziest thing. Like, what do you do with that? Like, especially if they're upfront with the secret, what is your initial response? You know, and that's in the beginning of the relationship. What is that response like? Like, oh my God, like, no, they didn't just, did they just say that? Yes, they did. Are you gonna respect it? Are you gonna accept it? Are you gonna accept them for who they are? We are meant and trained and thought to we accept people for who they are. But yet we don't accept people for who they are. We judge them based on who they are when they are trying to be normal. But what is normal? Because we could no longer be normal in a world full of judgment and obsession and a whole bunch of other host of things that are out there. So secrets, right? Let's not stray too far off the path. So secrets. So let's talk about other things that are secrets in a relationship. Secret children. That's kind of like not have secret children lying around. Because if one or other parties have secret children, whether it happened during a relationship or prior to the relationship, it's not beneficial. Or a secret marriage. You know, you have some guys running around here that got two marriages on two separate sides of the world. Hey, I'm a traveling salesman. But you got a wife over here, over in California, and then you got another wife over here in Boston, and yeah, you travel for weeks on end. 1 week you're here, and another week you're there, and they just okay with it until they find out that you got a whole nother family and a whole nother state and married into that family with kids. That's a lot. That's rough. Because I did see an Instagram video, and I know I quote Instagram a lot, but this is kind of where I see a lot of this stuff at. But I seen the Instagram video, and it probably was a satire or a comedy, but the mother walked up, knocked on this door. It was during the holiday time, and the father was behind the door like, yeah, like I'm his wife. Well, I'm his wife. Well, I've been his wife for like 9 years. I've been his wife for 10 years. Yeah, this is my daughter. This is my son. My son is 7. Yeah, my daughter is 8. Whoa. Whoa. That's a lot going on there. I think in that situation, we should all just kumbaya, just move into the same house and merge all these incomes. Why not? I mean, poly is like real big right now. So if you got two separate families, look, I'll be sitting there like, listen, baby, I don't want to have no secrets from you. But I like polyamorous relationships. You think you'll be down for that? You know, and kind of persuade them into it, you know? Probably gonna take a little bit. And then bring them in and say, you know, I've been married to the both of y'all. You know, I think we can make this work. Go ahead, buy a big house. And if they decide to flip out, like, look, I've been good to both of y'all. I just think that y'all just need to get to know each other a little bit better. And we can just grow this, we can grow this whole thing. We can go ahead and get a nice size house. You know, combine our incomes. Look, I would rather go from an $80,000, $90,000, $100,000household income to like a $200,000-$300,000 household income with two other partners. Now, if one of the partners is not working and it's just two of us working, we go to $100,000 household income and we got one person to take care of the kids, we ain't got to pay for no babysitter, They take them to the games. They doing all of that. You know, then, you know, both of them come home and then, you know, we all cooking together. We watching movies together. We got date nights. Hey, I think it works. You know, for the people out there that got all them wives, hey, you got the attention span of Jesus, I guess. Because you can handle all that attention. You can handle all that conversation and, ooh, the infighting. It could be a lot of infighting, but however the case is, hey, just go ahead, just bring them all together. Don't have the secret marriages. Don't have the secret children. The affairs, man, leave the secret affairs alone. If you gonna cheat, leave. Fuck what you got. If you believe that, even if your reasoning is, well, they just don't satisfy me, leave. But they make a lot of money. Let me tell you. For men, there are more women on the planet than there is men. They have the limited supply. Okay. It's a supply and demand. Okay. We are in demand, but there is a low supply. Women, on the other hand, are in demand, but it's a high supply. There's a lot of them. So what you can't find in your state, I'm pretty sure you can find in another state. What this one won't do, another one will. My favorite line, and I'm going to tell every man this that I ever come across, you don't never, ever have to settle. You want to know why? Because you are the prize. This is for any man that is out there. Whether you good, indifferent, ain't shit, whatever. For the latter two, y'all can get better. But if you a good man, great man, indifferent, ain't shit, deadbeat, whatever. There are limited supply of men, okay? It's not a lot of us in this world. It's not a lot of good ones in this world. You got some that's in jail. You got some that could be strung out. You got some that's converting to women, okay? You got some women that's converting to men, however the case is. But they're not really considered the man poppers because they got to use a strap on. I can give a fuck about the surgery. That shit ain't going to work the way you think it is. But, and go to any other state. Walk down the street. You're going to see plenty of women to talk to. You're going to see plenty of women that can give you what you're looking for. You go into an art gallery. You're going to see plenty of women. You're going to go to a restaurant. You're going to see plenty of women. You go to a museum, you're going to see plenty of women. You go to a university or a college, you're going to see plenty of women. You can go to work, you're going to see plenty of women. You can walk in a downtown area during a festival, you're going to see plenty of women. And majority of the time, some of them women are going to be single. Some of them are going to give you way more than what the past one gave you. Whether they're going to give you more emotion, or they're going to give you more physical, sex, head, whatever the fuck it is. You know, she may take it at all three motherfucking holes. I don't know. But it's always going to be somebody that's better than the last. Trust me. You have way more options out there than women do. Women don't have that many options. So women, I'm going to talk to y'all. And you can find what I say really offensive. But you're not the prize. That's first and foremost. Secondly, some of y'all aren't worth the gum that is on the bottom of a shoe because y'all ain't shit. There's some men out there that ain't shit either. I already called them out, but I'm going to call some of y'all out too. Some of y'all ain't shit. Y'all try to be shit, but y'all ain't shit. And I just want to let y'all know that because y'all out here and y'all think y'all the prize. Y'all think y'all high and mighty. Y'all think y'all sit on top of this motherfucking pedestal and you really not. And I'm not trying to bash women. I'm not. I'm just giving y'all the truth. There are some great women out there that do not get the recognition that they need. There are some phenomenal women out there that don't get the recognition that they need. There are some very loving, caring women out there doing everything they can to keep a good man. But you got these ain't shit out here bitches that's out here that's just doing the most to get attention that they claim that they don't really want, and they're making a fool of themselves. So understand that, no, you're not shit. No, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. And you're not the motherfucking prize. You don't come wrapped in a bow. You don't come wrapped in a fucking present at like Christmas. You don't. And I hate to put it that way, and I hate to say it that way, but I don't know any other way for it to hit home. Men are the prize. You looking for a provider? You looking for someone to protect you? You looking for all of that? I'm not saying you should settle either. Women, y'all shouldn't settle either. But understand that either you're looking for a long-term relationship or a short-term goal. There's only two options. A short-term goal, you out there casual, short-term relationships, turn that over, go do something else. Long-term relationships, you actually putting in the work. And sometimes, and I hate to kind of quote this because Michael Jackson said it, sometimes you got to look at yourself. You got to look in the mirror and realize the person that you are and have to fix and correct that. And it's not only for you, but it's for men too. For all the ain't shit and no good men out there, for all the ain't shit and no good women that's out there, for all the women that think they're high and mighty and they're the prize, sometimes you have to take a step and look at yourself and realize that you're not that. Realize that you're not as smart as you think you are. Realize you're not as cute as you think you are. Realize that the plastic surgery, whether you say you're doing it for yourself or you're doing it for everybody else, is not going to get you the attention that you're actually looking for. It's not going to get you the respect or the confidence that you actually want. It's going to put you in a position, it's going to put you in a box that is not going to do you too much good once you start to get that attention. Because when the attention that you're going to get is from those that probably not gonna respect you and only gonna want you for sex. They really gonna probably just wanna fuck you. You got a big ass, they probably just gonna wanna fuck you. But however the case is, and you can go ahead and you can dissuade them and you can convince yourself or whatever. But sometimes it takes just that moment, just that second, just that hour to just sit there and say, you know what, let me just look at me, figure out who I am. And then once I can figure that out, then I can figure out who I want to bring into my life to complement what I stand for, and we build together. And it all depends on what you want to build at that particular time. Sometimes you don't want to build a long-term relationship. You may be in your 20s, you're like, I don't want to build a long-term relationship right now. I want to build something else, and that's okay. Or you may be in your 30s and you may say, yeah, I want to build something right now. Or I don't want to build something right now. You have that option. Or you in your 40s, you say, I want to build something right now. But what are you trying to build in a relationship? What are you trying to do for yourself? Who are you at that point in time? Because a lot of us don't know who we are. We're still trying to find out. Fuck, I don't even know who the fuck I am. I'm still learning who I am because it took me so long to get to where I'm at, where I forgot who I am. Because I put everybody else first. Because I enjoy helping other people and putting them first and forgot about myself, and I lost myself. I was an ain't shit type nigga before. I mean, I was a good dude, but I still had my ain't shit moments. I can say that because I'm still learning myself. I'm still learning and knowing that the mistakes that I made in the past, it still lingers with me. The secrets of those events and all that stuff is still just lingering with me. Secrets, it's powerful. Kind of went on a tangent there, but you know, secrets are powerful. So I'm gonna leave you with that. I'm gonna leave that there. This is MNG, farewell Mr. Nice Guy. Go ahead, leave us a voice message. You know, I love to hear what y'all had to say about this episode. This is what I've been trying to do for a moment now, like a minute now. I wanted to really kind of talk about just the power of secrets. Leave comments, answer the polls, answer the questions. You can send us an email at farewellmrniceguy@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram at farewellmng. We post the new episodes that's coming up on there. We do some things on there. So, hey, check us out. Check us out. You know, we doing this. All right. I'll see y'all in the next episode. Peace.
Thanks for joining us on this unfiltered journey with Farewell Mr. Nice Guy. We hope today's conversation brought you fresh insights and a renewed embrace of authenticity. To keep the canon vibes flowing, hit the subscribe button for more thought-provoking episodes and share the podcast with your friends. As we wrap up, keep embracing your true self, navigating life's twists, and making connections truly count. Until next time, remember that your journey to authenticity and growth is one to cherish.